that might be helpful showing somebody. It was after I had already, you know, deleted the frames I wasn't going to work with. So what you're seeing there are the frames that were left over, and there's 10 of them. And you can see from frame one to where I very first begin seeing the eye, which is really hard for other people to see. But then, yeah, I just simply zoom the camera lens in to get shot number two. I simply zoomed the camera into where I was seeing the eye. And when I do that, yeah, the eye comes through really obviously.
Wendy's Coffee House, my guest, Casey Clare. And this is one of these things where I've already posted some photos, some images that I think are fantastic. And I put them on a couple of blogs. So if you want to track that down immediately, Wendy's Coffee House, the Blogspot site, or Talking to Nightlights on WordPress. She's got some fantastic information to go along with these images. And it's completely, I think, unique. And at the same time, if you are like me and you look at things with an abstract view, you can appreciate how this stuff all comes together. So without any more rambling from me, Casey, these are amazing images with the eyes that come into focus. So how did this start for you?
Well, it started through the out-of-body experience, I think. At the same time as I'm having a conscious awakening between the years 2009 and 2014, I began the fields, the inner fields, the what we would call dream fields, began, you know, more strongly interpenetrating my physical field, and I could see things in additional reality spaces. And the first being that I saw that came to me in a jacaranda tree. And it looked like a literal cartoon character sitting there in the tree, a little 2D character. I didn't know it was there. I was walking by. I all of a sudden felt that feeling I often feel when I know something is present. I just started feeling as though, wow, that is so beautiful. I need to take a picture of the tree. And I snapped the picture, and later when I looked at the frame, I saw that there was a being there, a little entity.
So is it like an elemental, a fairy? What you're referring to it as a being?
It was like a little elemental, I'm going to say. It was a 2D entity. And in my mind, it looked just like a little cartoon sitting there in the tree when I see the photo. Other people see a cat. Other people see different things. And I'm not sure how that works. I just can say what the being was who came to me was a 2D elemental, like a little white smurf.
Wow. Okay. Is that picture on your website?
It's not on the website. Not a lot of the pictures that I captured from the environment do I share, because it just gradually, you know, over the course of a few weeks grew to where I was feeling that same feeling while I was sitting in the car one day, and I had the crystal sitting there on the steering wheel. And again, oh, wow, that's so beautiful. I should take a photo. And I would snap the photo and look at them and see that someone was there. And as soon as that happened with the crystal, I set the environment down and slowly began working with the crystal.
Now with the beings, and you sent me some so that I could share them too, but they're on your website, and there are so many unique and different, and the eyes come through. How did you see, was it automatically you saw the eyes?
The first time it happened, it was an actual male entity that came through, but from that point on, it was entire scenes. And this is, I explain it as a, you know, in terms of being able to view it or read what's coming through, I tend to refer to it as having to have a high data processing speed kind of awareness in order to see anything. I see them clear as day in the same fashion in which I see my room. So I would get transmissions, like entire what we would or might call downloads through them. And so, for example, one of the first was my own birth into the earth life. And I saw multiple layers of data coming through, you know, the first of which is my newborn self laying face down and an entity coming up from the mattress and a large looming male face looking down at us. And then on another layer, I saw, and this one's really to the front, extraterrestrial conical-headed male and more human-looking female looking eye to eye into each other. And way at the back, my Earth mom and dad. And there's more in there as well. But this is an example as to how much can actually come through. Scene within scenes within scenes within scenes. And then I got a huge one on the Anunnaki. And at that point, I had never heard of the Anunnaki. So it was an interesting process learning how this was associated with that. You know, I pick up on the concepts and the frame, and I would do a search on them. Yeah, and just stuff on the Anunnaki started coming in. And then I started reading about that, and I'm like, well, that matches what's coming through the crystal.
Okay, so for you, the background, and go ahead and share that, because not everybody here is on the same page with this. So the Anunnaki, from what you were picking up on, how did that dovetail and correlate?
Well, basically what I was getting was the Enki Enlil story. I was seeing both those, I hesitate to call them factions, but factions of being. And on the Enki side was a definite reptilian type appearance and energy. And on the Enlil side, what we might call biblical or angelic or idyllic looking humans. And as this story proceeded, that's when my own Anunnaki counterpart came through. And we have that in the frame also. I have a portrait of that aspect of myself. And so this is what I'm learning at this point, that what is coming through the crystal is myself, aspects of myself, other dimensional aspects of me. Mm-hmm. And so that's most of what you're seeing there is that.
Which picture do you focus on, the name for the picture? Do you post that?
My Anunnaki counterpart?
Yes.
Yeah, he's on the board. He's in the new video I just put out. We have a frame of him. We'll put him up if we put this together as a video.
Perfect. Okay. And the reason I'm asking you, because this is tough to kind of put the pictures that we're speaking about in, you know, into somebody's mind so that they understand the concept that you are getting information and then transmitting it as you see it and as you interpret it as it relates to you. But these pictures are all unique. They aren't the same. The beings are very unique. And so when you're listening to this and you're trying to look this up, the website is consciousnessexploration.com. And you can go to the page that has the beings and kind of a backstory to get caught up to speed with some of this. But again, it's so unique to see them, and they become real as you look at them.
Indeed. the eyes are that crystal clear, that true to life. Yes.
One of them, one of the ones you sent me, Shaw, and that one kind of has a pig snout nose. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it's an actual face, another face coming yes. out of the snout area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that one, then the eyes. Again, as I'm seeing them, they are absolutely amazing because the eyes are so distinct. There's no missing, no just, you know, I imagined it. There's another one that to me kind of looks like a bear, and that's Bib, and it has a little bear nose with the eyes. And I hopefully if you're listening, you can go to the website and see what I'm talking about. Again, it's consciousnessexploration.com. There's a lot going on with this. Were you intuitive? Did you have a lot of experiences prior to, you said 2009 is when it started, or 2014?
2009 is when I had the awakening experience. Mm-hmm. And this is when my conscious state of awareness was brought in on the fact that I'm multidimensional and living in multidimensions simultaneously, permanently from that point forward. Prior to that, I would say I was always a dreamer. I'm somebody who's always been able to not just bring my dreams forward with me, but actually walk in them co-simultaneously as in physical space with me for some time as I got up to start my day. I had this capacity to walk in both fields at the same time. And the crystal work is sort of an exemplification of this. It shows that the consciousness level that has been attained through this person here we call Casey is here with a capacity to hold multiple states simultaneously. And so this is all about consciousness.
Yeah.
Whether we're talking about the awakening, the deep meditative state, the going out of body, the working with the crystal, this is all consciousness and how consciousness works.
I was at the dentist and they moved the chair. She hit the button, my eyes were closed, and all of a sudden I was absolutely, totally, completely dizzy and not sure if I was going to be able to walk. So I didn't say a word. I let her finish filling out the chart, very quietly tried to get myself focused again. And in the meantime, though, I was left with this shock that it happened so fast, and it's vertigo. When this happened, my husband said, well, those are crystals in your ear. That's what's going on. The crystals just got dislocated. Well, so that's what the doctor said. Okay, the crystals got dislocated. Then it reminded me, as you work with your crystals and crystalline energy, we also have that crystal form in our own being, in our physical body, that then makes it compatible with this energy and working with crystals, information transfer. Does that make sense to you?
It makes absolute sense, and it's amazing that you intuit it. This is another thing that has just been who I am as an experience in physical space. I've open quote, end quote, suffered vertigo my entire life. The way physical doctors will describe it is limited to physical terms in physical space, but I would describe it somewhat differently. I know in my case, what's happening is I'm being alert on some level to being in multiple places at the same time, and that causes in me the sense of vertigo, the sense of spinning, the sense of not quite having ground beneath my feet. So I would say yes and sort of no to it just being crystals in the ear. That can happen, and that does happen with me, but the sense of vertigo that I've always had, the sense of being just slightly off kilter, you know, never having the ability to walk a straight line or climb a wall. it's permanent in my experience. And so this is different, and I can contrast it to the crystals in the ear when that happens, because very easily you can lay down and, you know, turn your head slightly and get those crystals to fall back in form, and it disappears. Whereas what I'm talking about right now is permanent and ongoing, and it's something that you acclimate to over time.
Yes.
I've acclimated to it. Often, you know, I'm not paying attention to the fact that I'm experiencing it. However, when I'm consciously shifting right there in the middle of what I am doing into an additional consciousness space, it becomes more prevalent. And of course, I begin seeing the scenes from where I am in the additional field.
A lot of times when I'm going to talk to somebody, if they're having a certain experience, like a ghost, or if they've had an out-of-body experience, or they're talking about shamanism or whatever, I'll have a dream or concrete experience that draws it to my consciousness so I can integrate and understand. The vertigo you talk about, when I expand as I'm riding in a car and can feel that the car beside me is going to come into our lane, then it's very real. I know that that car is moving forward, that that person is either distracted, something happened, but that car is coming forward. And I know it before it happens. But it's because I've tried to explain it to my husband. I'm not in the car. At one point, there was an accident. I said, the accident is over on the right shoulder, and there are police cars. Get ready to slow down. And it wasn't, it's not even like a remote viewing. It's an expanded awareness. With this vertigo experience, I could contrast the two of, okay, this is when I'm super loopy and super dizzy, and the other part's when I'm only part dizzy. Let's put it that way.
Exactly. It's more level. It's there, but it's more level.
It's not that uncomfortable. It's not that, but I am, again, expanded awareness. And so it's just a knowing that it's okay. And I'm calm, where the other one was uncomfortable and unexpected. So it was like, oh, what now? What now? Act normal.
Yeah, I understand. And depending on how much data is actually coming in from that expanded state to your physical person will, you know, sort of determine the amount of dizziness and or discomfort you feel as it's coming in, you know, because it can be a lot of data and you'll just be swimming in it, trying to decipher it in an instant in order to do what you need to do to correct what may be about to occur in the physical space. So, yeah, it's extraordinary. That's just my life. That's just normal.
Well, and when you're trying to tell people how this works, though, there are some other, I read or actually saw a post that you did on a video, and that had to do with hearing or connecting to frequencies coming through the refrigerator. And we're going to talk about this just because for anybody who thinks it's loopy, 20 years ago or so, I had that same sense of how can this make sense? And then doing the channeling and understanding there are other beings in our space right along in a separate dimension, but still interacting with us, that can change our frequency by not affecting anything on the physical plane, but affecting the inner plane and the vibration. And all of a sudden, we're being given information that we aren't consciously aware of, but it can trigger certain thoughts or certain beliefs or certain actions because it is that concrete for us on that plane, on that other non-dimensional, non-physical, and you call the astral plane. But so I wanted you to share that because that one is amazing.
That's a huge story to share, I have to tell you, Wendy. Because it was ongoing for a matter of about a couple months. And my awareness, I can sometimes just be dim as a wit when my inner self is attempting to tell me something. So they had to work real hard on getting me to the point of cognition of what was happening. And so they used what they knew that I loved, and that was hearing the inner sounds, the celestial sounds. And so after some time of this actually going on, it's that which first caught my attention. I didn't want to pay any attention to the other
sounds.
But I couldn't not pay attention to the celestial sound. The thing is they quickly evolved the celestial sounds into music that it would be more our physical type music. In particular, I was hearing an album that I've listened to near every day of my life for 30 years. I love it that much. It's just Native American flute music. And I could hear it coming from somewhere, and I kept searching. I live in a very small studio space, and I was searching for where it was. I thought, okay, I left it on my cell phone, and I went to my cell phone and there was nothing playing, and it was just driving me crazy. They kept making me hear it. And it evolved from that into music that I had never heard, that I am not in possession of, that wasn't coming from anywhere else, but it seemed to me it was coming from a physical thing, like from a very definite point and place in the room, couldn't locate it either. And it quickly shifts from here into me hearing these tones. It was Gregorian, like a Gregorian chant, but it was just a fluctuation of these 3 to 4 notes over and over and over again, all day, all night, through the night, all day, all night, through the night.
Yes.
And this is how I finally keyed in. As I'm going to bed one night, I'm shifting into an out-of-body state, and as I'm shifting through the etheric space, this is when I am hyper-alert to the frequencies coming off of my refrigerator and how they're actually connecting with me in what I'm perceiving as a negative-type fashion. And the OBE I'm having is one of abduction, what we normally call abduction. These ones that have come this night are the ones who have come from me since childhood, and they're a group that I don't like. I don't enjoy this experience. I'm not saying that they're negative. I'm just saying that I don't enjoy contact with these ones. At least my central nervous system doesn't. And this is how I start to be aware more of the fridge. So in the morning, I get up and I'm hyper alert to the fridge. I'm understanding that those frequencies that were coming off of the fridge were very associate with exactly what was happening in the out-of-body experience. You know, I still don't know more than that much at that time. I just start panning the network out there to see if anyone else has anything going on. And, you know, that's when I hit Cliff High and his upload he did about a message being sent through the ethers, you know, about, you know, the shots being safe and effective.
Yes. Yes.
And then, you know, a few nights later, as I'm shifting into the dream state, I pass through the ethers in a conscious fashion as well and hear the signal. And I'm like going, well, darn it, that's not similar to the thing that is, or the frequencies coming off my fridge, you know. And then I just start putting two and two together. Because frequencies is how any of us are identified.
The sound is what most people are, I think it's subliminal. And so you don't really realize how much influence it has until you start working with sound, until you start beginning to figure out, I got a tone. What is a tone? How does it make me feel? Am I inspired? Am I depressed? What are these tones about? And then that's when you start realizing that your energy in, you know, this, the energy field is that vulnerable to different kinds of sounds. And living in large cities, you're going to be in, you know, some way, shape, or form influenced by different sounds and frequencies. And then what did you do? Did you try to tune it out? Did you try to shift your awareness, your energy? How did you deal with that?
My awareness when I'm confronting anything, well, let me just say, when I'm confronting anything has its own, there's a specific point of focus that I always go to. And it's just basically self. If it's not self, it's no one. It's sort of a mantra that centers me within myself. And so I always naturally do this. So my inner group, they work with this. What they showed me was that they were putting this code. They inserted a code into the frequencies that were coming. This sounds crazy, doesn't it? They inserted this code that was coming off the frequencies from the fridge that allowed me to sort of bypass what the frequencies were putting out. Like they were missing me. They were coming through, but I was completely getting missed. They weren't impacting me. And I didn't look too deeply into that. As soon as I knew my back was had, which I pretty much always know to begin with, you know, I moved on.
I wanted you to say that because there, yes, it does sound completely off the wall. But if someone has experienced it, then it's helpful to know that been there, done that. This isn't all fiction. It isn't all mental. It's actually us responding on different levels. And that's what happens when you get into this multidimensional awareness. You understand there are different frequencies, different beings, and different life forms. They don't look like us. They don't behave like us, but we are influenced by them. And so learning how to not just protect, but to be fluid and fluent and shift without causing any more discomfort or dis-ease, and knowing it's okay. These beings were here before us. They'll be here after us because in physical form, we have a finite lifespan. And in the meantime, though, when we shift to our non-physical form, then we can deal with this and in some way even things out and become more compatible instead of combative with our environment. Does that make sense?
Exactly. Yes. And if the attention will just go more strongly to that, to what you have just said, to our own inner maneuvers that we make to learn and grow from every experience we're blessed to have, rather than into the story of black hats and white hats and, you know, getting involved in a battle there, or in other words, sidetracked from the whole point of the whole experience. Then, you know, that's good. We just need to know how to focus inwardly to our own benefit rather than get caught up in the story again of good guys and bad guys doing this or that. And because that will send the central nervous system and the physical body has its own life. It is its own experience. And when we run thoughts that are in the negative spectrum, that are down there in the fear spectrum, or even just in the, I'm just saying, rather than get trapped in the story, don't. And instead go inwardly and see exactly what the answer was in terms of your maneuvers to evade that, to see what it is, to observe, to notice, to learn and grow. Right?
Yes.
Because now we're in a capacity to help others also do the same. However, if we narrow the attention down and get caught in the drama, then we often lose sight or perspective of our maneuvers, our inner maneuvers.
Our own power.
That was so brilliant, you know, and we go right back into the story, into the drama, into the war.
Mm-hmm. The illusion, the Maya, yeah.
Exactly. And so I would just direct the attention inward, just like you just did, and emphasize that's the part that is most beneficial to be aware of.
That is a hard transition to make when you're coming out of the 9-to-5 and seeing all of the drama and seeing the battlefield, basically, and seeing that as the only reality. So going back into, how do you shift? You were years of spiritual exploration before this happened.
Yeah, thank goodness.
But you had a framework, you know, you had a ground to, you know, a solid framework where you already established that. And then when this happened, it didn't basically blow your circuits, okay?
And I'm going to say that it really wasn't the spiritual disciplines that assisted me with that. It was the non-participation in the drama in physical space to begin with. So I didn't participate in a lot of life as most people know it. The life was secluded. The life was one of inner spiritual disciplines. It wasn't one I'm somebody who didn't even go to my own high school graduation, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't the idea to get married and, you know, buy a house and have a family and, you know, all of the normal life stuff. So I didn't participate. Mine was highly concentric for, you know, the inner or spiritual being. And that in itself is what helped.
It's free because you're not caught up in the lockstep thing of you must do this to be successful. You must do this to be liked. You must do this to be perceived as intelligent. All of those things that are put out as goals and the next, you know, breadcrumb to whatever it is to success,
right.
You know, and so that's different.
But most people are here to live that life. You know, I wasn't. It's not why I came. Most people are here to live that life, so it is going to be more challenging for them.
Yes.
So I am somebody who holds that door open. I've come here to hold that, you know, inner space door open. So it was easier for me, yeah, and it's not going to be easier for most others, which is why we're pointing it out.
To me, to compare it to Alice in Wonderland, okay, because there are others on the other side of the door. No matter how far you ascend, or what realm you have found yourself to be in where you feel accomplished, when you get into the next room and you think you've really succeeded and you've gone so far, there's always a full complement of beings in that other room saying, "Huh, about time." You know, "Wow, I have arrived. I have ascended. I'm here and I'm enlightened." And they go, "Here's a newbie. Let's go." Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always another level. There's always more.
I want to go back to the crystals. And this is, you know, because these pictures that you're taking, you're using a crystal. And that is where the heck do the eyes come from?
Mm-hmm. It's the whole process, what I'm learning, and I'm going to say this as though I know it, but it's just simply what the phase of knowing that I'm in at this point in time, is that I'm transferring the contents of my awareness, my inner awareness, through the mean of the crystal. Crystal is an amplification tool, so we're just amplifying those signals. And then I'm taking a picture with a cell phone camera so that you can see the signals, so that you can see the pictures.
is there a favorite that you work with?
There's my group. So there are five beings in this group. Four male, one female.
Do they help you amplify the signal?
They don't have to help me amplify the signal. They just send the signal, and they're very good at sending the signal. The crystal is very good at amplifying the signal. So it does most of the work in terms of the amplification. Now here on my end, the receiver, there's criteria. And you channel, so you'll know that when you channel, it has a certain effect on the body.
Mm-hmm.
The body has to be in really good shape to channel, to process these frequencies. Otherwise, it's rather like a light bulb, isn't it? Taking a 50-watt light bulb, attempting to send 1,000 watts through it,
yeah.
And that light bulb is going to experience some discomfort, some disharmony, and it could, of course, burst.
When it works, there's a buzz. When it doesn't work, you get massive headaches. At least that's my experience. My experience was when I first wasn't quite in resonance with this, and so mm-hmm. I needed to take breaks. It wasn't a bad thing. It was just tuning myself into the frequency and becoming more in tune, harmony, with the frequencies that were vibrations that were coming through. And at that point, again, that expanded awareness. If it was, telephone, electric lights, anything that was like a power station, I had to tell my massage therapist, this is not a good room. You're right next to the junction circuit for the electricity, and I'm going out with that when I should be here in the room.
Yeah. So the energy has to be there. Yes. And if your energy is not there because you are, I'm going to say, having a glass of wine with dinner or eating at McDonald's or things like that. Yeah. It's going to, there's all kinds of beings too. So there's beings who actually thrive on that. And
yeah.
Those ones will be able to channel with that. But the type of being that I am can't do things like that and bring these signals through without great difficulty to the physical system. It's a matter of keeping the physical system healthy, well hydrated, and accustomed to processing high frequency things. Anything green is extraordinary. Anything white is extraordinary. Colors, again, frequency.
Well, going back to the eyes again, because this is where I think, you know, the eyes are the windows to the soul. When you're speaking with the beings and bringing the beings through, what is the most prominent message, the transmission that you get?
Well, for the past year, we've been really focused on allowing others to make the contact that I've been enjoying. So bringing the transmissions into 3D view has been a focus, and it's, you know, what we've highly been working on. And this goes right back to the criteria, you know, of the physical vessel for even doing this. I'd like to insert this if I could, because a lot of people ask and it somehow never quite gets said. When I'm working with the crystal, and if you want to work with the crystal in this fashion, there's a few things that help. One, it's just that your energy has to be there for it. You have to have an awareness that this is an actual thing in the same sense that you do when you sit down with your phone and you're about to call somebody. You know that what you've got in your hand is a phone and that it has this capacity to call someone. When you sit down with the crystal, this same kind of awareness has to be present at the same time. And so if you meditate first and get yourself into this open awareness, this realization, then from here, it's a matter of connecting inwardly with yourself, you know, feeling if there's anyone present, calling someone in, picking up the crystal and connecting with the crystal. Everyone involved now is, you know, sort of coalescing into the manifestation of this whole thing. And so then at this point, the light is critical. And I like working with the sun. You know, the greatest transmissions come through the sun's rays. And again, this is one of the ways that you can go out beyond the body of the crystal itself. A lot of people ask, well, aren't you just taking pictures of something that is actually in the crystal, like in the physical crystal? And although I can do that, I can go into the elemental aspects and beingness of this crystal. The way that you can go out beyond the body of the crystal and know that you're actually receiving a transmission from elsewhere is to use the sun, because they're going to send the transmissions through the rays of the sun. The crystal is going to amplify those signals, and they're going to be much easier to capture, or at least they are for me. And then another way to go out beyond the body of the crystal is a process that I learned, and I simply call it triangulation, because I'm going to take the camera into a point where three faces are meeting. And that seems to open this window that takes me out beyond the body of the crystal. Because if I put my cell phone camera right up to the crystal and look inside the crystal, it's very different than when I take it into a triangulated point. And you can, it's visually obvious something different has happened here. You've opened a new plane.
Okay, triangulation meaning where are you from the crystal and what is that third point?
So, for instance, I work with a crystal that is a quartz crystal, and a quartz crystal has a geometry that's six-sided. So when you pick up a quartz crystal and look at the bottom of it, you'll see that it has six sides.
Okay.
Okay. And, of course, it will have six sides along its faces. So if I go to where three of the faces, say the bottom of the crystal, and two of the side faces are meeting at a particular point, and I take my camera right into that point, mm-hmm. it's going to open a new point.
Now, you also have, I'm on the site where you put the crystal work explained. You posted that on the 15th, and that has a picture, an image, the frames from 1 to 10 showing how this mm-hmm. develops.
Yes, and not all of the frames are there. When it dawned on me, hey, I should take a screenshot of those shots right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Because that might be helpful showing somebody. It was after I had already, you know, deleted the frames I wasn't going to work with. So what you're seeing there are the frames that were left over, and there's 10 of them. And you can see from frame one to where I very first began seeing the eye, which is really hard for other people to see. But then, yeah, I just simply zoom the camera lens in to get shot number two. I simply zoomed the camera into where I was seeing the eye. And when I do that, yeah, the eye comes through really obviously.
Yeah.
You just see an eye there.
It's there.
You know? Uh-huh. And, but you can also see everything else that just looks like a mess of nothing all around it, right? You can mm-hmm. see swirls, of course, like you do when you look up in the sky and things like that. But like, there's nothing obvious like the eye. Then I just zoom in again to where I see the eye, and I'm just connecting my inner eye to that eye as I'm zooming in, and that's when they begin to appear.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can't miss this. And not only that, when you get to 10, the number 10, there's a nose, there's a face. It's this, the shape is fully developed.
Yeah, the being, well, yeah, as soon as I isolate the being, the being's there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that article, that's sort of important to mention, because, and this goes back to the different data processing speeds that, you know, your own mind, your own brain has to use in order to actually see or read the signals that are coming through. Let me see if I can say this concisely and then take it into relationship with the crystal. The way my consciousness works, I see physical space left. It must have always been this way because I don't remember it ever being any different. So what I see when I look out into the room I'm in right now is it's almost like a zero point. It's almost like a void. And then the next thing I see is space. And space to me is clearly composed of particles. I can see the tiny light particles that are composing what we just call empty space, you know, the space between me and the wall, for mm-hmm. instance. You know, most people can't see that. That's one of the biggest things I see.
Okay.
And so my vision goes from the void, sort of, I'll just say, out toward physical space, and physical space is the last thing I see. So I'm seeing multi-dimensions, multiple fields,
mm-hmm.
always. And this is how my mind processes what comes through the crystal as well. So through the crystal, when I'm seeing in the format in which I've just described, it would be as though, imagine concentric circles. So many concentric circles, you can't fathom them. I've got a picture there on that post that sort of shows what it's like.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing that all at once. Imagine each of those circles actually being a scene, like the room that you're in right now.
That's
every
intense.
Every single one of them.
Intense.
And I'm taking in all, yes, I'm taking in all that data all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And the important bit, I put them together within the framework of my mind. And when I snap the photo, I get what I get.
Yeah.
So I get an entire downloads. I get the whole story of my birth into the earth life. It's, you know, I can just, my attention in that spectral awareness isolates the important bits most related to me that perhaps I want to see, you know, information on my birth.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's what shows up in the frame. When the story of the Anunnaki came through, it's that's because who my higher fractal consciousness is, what we would call my higher self. There's multiple levels of our higher fractal consciousness, but the one closest associate with me is this Anunnaki being. And that's why that was the story of my higher self is the Anunnaki being. And by the way, very benevolent, as my entire being is in this lifetime. So that's sort of how it works. And so that's a very high data processing speed. Most people will just see nothing. It's just like seeing so much all at once that you see nothing.
Right.
But of course, I can isolate the data. And then there's another data processing speed in which, and I'm just going to come all the way through to what's closest to 3D physical. And in this data processing speed, everything overlaps. So imagine two circles or one circle and another circle rolling halfway out of it. Okay, so you have two circles that are interconnected and that sort of football shape in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So now each of those circles is a face. If two faces were overlapping, they'd be sharing an eye. Yes?
Yes.
And this is how the majority of the frames will come through. So this is not 3D physical. This is, I'm going to say, galactic physical.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's overlapped.
4, 5, 6D physical. You know, you're seeing only 3D physical has space between one thing and another thing. The reason you don't have that experience in 4, 5, 6D is because of the telepathy that naturally exists there. Everything is overlapping. Everything is connected. Mm-hmm. Everything, there's the awareness that everything is connected. And the way that comes through the crystal is with these overlapping faces. So there's always the one eye of the main coming through. And then you'll have all of these overlapping faces. Now, a lot of people can't see this. They just can't see unless a being has two perfectly matched
right. right.
physical eyes. And so it's really taken us a long time to get into a process and work some techniques that brought the frames down into this. Where what you see is one being instead of absolutely everything that you can, which is a shame. But because so many people can't do that, at least now we can get it to where they have a start. They understand that, okay, there is something happening here in a way that they can recognize. So framing is what we first came up with to do this. Because when I take the picture, of course, a picture has an edge. on the data in these encapsulated frames goes right out to the edge.
Yeah.
So it's like seeing the being nose to nose with you. You know, there's just not enough space between you and it for a 3D person to actually be able to make out. It's like if you walk yourself right up to the wall and put yourself nose to the wall, you don't see the wall. You just see dark. So we tried to begin putting some distance between the being and the person seeing the being by making frames. And so that's the next thing I describe in that article, is how we began framing and putting frames within frames within frames to create this sort of depth perception that would allow people to see. It was extraordinary. As soon as we started doing this, people could see. And I'm like, that's all we had to do. But that took me about a year and a half to figure out in physical time.
Yeah. We're going to have to go. I do want for future, when we put this on, when I put it on the blog, that picture we talked about, the very first one that you talked about, the little being that looked like a cartoon character, so we can show people, you know, what that image looked like, the beginning of your journey into all of this. And then for anybody who's listening, consciousnessexploration.com, that is the website. And you also have a YouTube channel where people can watch your videos as well. And it's very helpful when you see all these pictures that, you know, that you have dealt with, to be able to bring these eyes for people to actually see. And then the process that you use to create that, which is what you focused on for the post on March 15th. But thank you. I find it fascinating. It's just another way of seeing the other dimensions and how they can present themselves when we're open to experimenting and expanding our horizons, using our imagination to say, how else can I bring this through, which is what you have done. So I'm looking forward to seeing how far you're going to go with it.
Me too. Yes. And a really fascinating thing, just to conclude, is that not only are we bringing them through, but in people viewing what we're bringing through, they, in the process, are shifting into those wider dimensions. So it's all one, it's all at once, it's happening, it's how we're helping others make the shift.
Everybody expands their awareness with this. Anything else you want to add before we sign off?
I think that's great. I think we hit a lot of things that will be challenging for people to process.
Well, that's the whole point, okay?
Yeah, but I'm happy to come back on any time and dive into any aspect anyone finds interesting.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, well, I'm looking forward to following your process. In the meantime, we're going to share this stuff on the blogs, and you'll have more on your videos and your blogs as well. You also have a group that you work with for people who are interested in that. Is that, what channel is that?
If you go to consciousnessexploration.com, you'll see a page there called Community Forum, and that will take you to where the group of us are. And we dive into all of this kind of stuff via the written word.
Well, yeah, you've got the consciousness experiments. You also have the tribe and community, crystal communications, out-of-body exploration, extraterrestrial consciousness, kundalini awakening, all sorts of stuff here on this page. So again, yes, a lot to dive into.
Let's do it.
Okay. Thank you. Again, Wendy's Coffee House. You can check out the blog, Talking to Nightlights. And Casey Clare, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.